Somehow I got married and have a baby since then. So about 2 years ago, I was here in deputation for Germany, and we're still on the road. We'll finish this, Lord willing, in September. We'll be flying over to Germany, do some work there, and start out in Switzerland. And so that's what we're on deputation, and how I ended up being here tonight is I just called your pastor up and asked him if you want to stop in. We were coming through the area, and then he said he was going to be out of town and wondered if I'd be available to pop in here. So I said yes, and so it's a blessing I'm here. And I mean, before the Lord called me to go somewhere, he called me to preach. So tonight I'm going to try to do a little something, try to teach something tonight. And like I said, I'm not very knowledgeable. I'm just a young guy. I don't know. I really have a lot. I need a lot of time to study, I'll put it that way. But tonight I'm going to be, if you have your Bible here, if you go to 1 John. And, you know, I don't really want to take a lot of time tonight to talk about myself or anything like that. I don't really even want to do it. But this Sunday night, Lord willing, I'm going to do a little slideshow on Germany and present the field. 2 years ago I did do that, but the slideshow is different. Now I have my wife and we have the baby, and she'll play a little harp. We didn't have that the first time around. So that was 2 years ago. So this Sunday night, Lord willing, if you come back, I'm going to do a little something on Germany, tell a little bit more about what the Lord's called us to do over there. And so tonight I'm not going to be doing too much prelude. I'm just going to get right into the study. And if you have your Bible, go to 1 John chapter 1. And then also in another hand, if you could go to John 13. John 13. And how I got onto this. In my Bible reading, I just read Joshua, I think chapter... What am I at here? Joshua 9 or so is where I was reading my Bible reading today. I think I finished 9. And so if you're reading your Bible through, the Lord gives you what you need daily. Amen. So what I got today is what you're getting today. So I'll say that. So what I was working on today, and it's not even close to being polished, so bear with me. I'm going to be flipping around a little bit. And I know you here, you're all hard workers, right? You're from Indiana, so you guys wouldn't have any trouble handling a book. So, you guys all shuck the corn, or you go, what's the difference between Indiana and Illinois, anyways? Yeah, Iliana, I think I seen on one sign or something. Iliana. That was some made up name, but I'm just glad you guys are far enough away from Chicago. I don't have to deal with that. Amen. I was praising the Lord when I saw it on the map. I was like, good. Amen. I'm glad I'm away from that. Anyways, yeah, I grew up in Wisconsin, so the cold is not that big a deal, but I'm getting tired of all the salt, and I had it in four-wheel drive for about the last week. I was up in Michigan, had to use four-wheel drive to get up my driveway. They put me at a house every day, four-wheel drive on, and I drove this last Sunday night from a different part of Michigan through that storm that came through, and I only saw two vehicles for the last, 45 minutes of the drive, a snowplow and our crazy nut that was at 9 o'clock at night. Four-wheel drive, three-foot drifts, I barely made it. I mean, I'd slow down to 10 miles an hour, 5, and then I was like, oh, God. And then I'd get a track or something. We made it, so praise the Lord. Otherwise, I'd be probably still there because there's no one out at 10 at night in the snowstorm. So praise the Lord. Let's start out here in 1 John and chapter 1 and verse 9. Actually, we'll read 3 through 10. The Bible says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And I'm going to be doing a little two-part series. I couldn't get it all into one thing tonight. Going to go real quick, but I'm going to be focusing on verse 9 tonight. If we confess our sins, I'm going to be studying a little bit here tonight on confessing your sins. There's a lot of people out there today that will tell you you don't need to confess your sins. We're going to look at that. There's a lot of people that believe confessing your sins is a means of salvation. It is not. Maintaining your salvation, it is not. There's a lot of things we're going to look at tonight, and that's why the Lord kind of put it on me, because I was reading in Joshua about Achan. Achan, if you know about the, they went out to Ai and they battled against it and they lost. And Joshua, we're going to read about it. But anyways, there was a man that he confessed his sin, and that's what got me on this. And lately, just about 2 weeks ago in Wisconsin, I got to lead a Lutheran to the Lord. And I was working in the shop, working on the door of my truck. And my cousin's boyfriend came in. I never talked to him in my life. And I asked him, at the end of the, after my truck was done, this guy that was in there, his name was Matt Offerdahl. And I started talking to him, and I said, you know, has anyone ever taken a Bible and showed you how to be saved? And he goes, well, you know, he said, you know, so-and-so, a Lutheran pastor, took me and he kind of told me that, you know, you need to confess your sins, you know, to get saved, or to confess my sins. And so I've been doing that and trying to, you know, live a little bit better and go to church. And, you know, you'll go to hell that way. You'll go to hell if you confess your sins, and that's your salvation. If your salvation is hanging on your confessing your sins, that's not going to happen. That's not going to do it. You say, why? Well, we're going to get into it tonight. Now, confessing your sins, obviously, realizing you're a sinner and you have sins, that's a good start to getting saved. Realizing I'm a sinner, I've fallen short. It's you, though, that's the problem. You need to have a new nature. You need to be born again. That's confessing that you need a Savior and that you need to be born again. Well, that's confessing your sins. Martin Luther, being called to Germany, I use the Luther Bible, and I grew up in the Lutheran Church. And Luther was a very devout monk, Catholic, you name it, priest. And he knew confessing your sins just was a dead end. He did it all the time. He said, you know what, I can't remember them all. I don't know them all. And it's a work. It's a good work. So we're going to be looking at that. And that's the only reason we're getting into it. If you go to John 13, though, John 13, you all know this passage. John 13:4. We're going to be going to 1 John and John 13. That's where we'll kind of sit for a while. John 13:4, Jesus Christ, the Last Supper is ended here. And in 4 it says, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And this is a, there's an art thing out there. Foot washing is a big thing. I don't know if you ever heard about foot washing, physically foot washing and stuff. The Lord's showing them a lesson here. And Peter here is saying, you know, wash me all over. We'll just keep reading. Here in verse 9. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. And he goes in there, but what he's saying is, you're clean, Peter. But you're going to need to have your feet washed because of where you've been lately. What have you been up to lately? You're going to need to be clean. He was clean every whit. But still, the foot washing was a necessity. And that's a type of the Christian that you need to confess your sins. Or every day we need to apply the blood, if you've ever heard that. You need to stay in this book every day. You can get saved. But just daily life, I don't know about you, but I have this old nature still on me. I'm not here today saying I'm holy. I know that what Paul said, to the wit, the redemption of the body. Or Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he goes on to thank the Lord that we have a new body coming. But until the Lord comes and gives us a new body, we got the old man. And that's all. Romans 6 through 9. That's some deep stuff there. The flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh. The things I would not, and you go from there. And anyways, this is kind of an illustration here in John 13 that you're probably very familiar with, is you can be clean every whit and be saved, but yet you're going to still have that foot. You're going to have to be going to the Lord daily because of where you've been in this world, what you've did daily in this world. And that's just the way it is. But now the first thing I want to look at here is confession of sins is not a way to be saved. To guarantee salvation is not a way to guarantee salvation in either the Old Testament or the New Testament. Okay, it's not going to be a guarantee that you'll be saved in the Old Testament or the New Testament. If you have your Bible here, if you turn to the first example, is if you go all the way back to Exodus, and you got Pharaoh. Now everyone here is familiar with Pharaoh, and we're going to go through some examples. This week tonight we're going to focus on what salvation cannot do, or what confession of sins cannot do. It cannot give you salvation. Why confession of sins cannot give you salvation, and some examples that confess their sins and were not saved. They confessed, they were good confessors, but what I'm going to show you in a little bit here is, like the Lord said, with their lips they draw nigh unto me, but their heart is far from me. See, the Bible says in Romans, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confession is right here. But believing on Jesus Christ is right here. Okay? And like an old preacher said in Texas, I think it was even Frank Norris, he said, you go to heaven heart first. You don't go to heaven confession booth first. You don't go to heaven baptism first. And you know all that thing, but we're going to look at that. Because we're going to look at some examples right here in Pharaoh, Exodus 9. A man who confessed a couple different times, but he was not saved. He wasn't righteous. He's not listed in the heroes of the faith. He's a type of the Antichrist. And he knew he did wrong. And Exodus 9:27. The Bible says in Exodus 9:27, Pharaoh said, and Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Okay. And then and look at 10:16 again. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste, and said, "I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once." Anyways, you find a man here that's confessing, "I have sinned." He's saying, "I did it." He's not pointing fingers. He's saying he did it against God and against Moses. He's looking for forgiveness. But as you know, when they got out of Egypt, and he's finally let them go, what did he do? He came after them. His heart was hardened. This man's heart was one of the hardest hearts you've ever seen in the whole history of this world, Pharaoh. It just got harder and harder. I mean, a lot of us here, now we know the old flesh, but it took 10 plagues, and he still was still hard. This is a man's heart that's hard. His heart is hard, but his mouth, you know what it's saying? I've sinned. I've sinned once. I sinned. And that's the thing, is that anyone can physically say whatever. Talk is cheap. You've heard it. Talk is cheap. And that's why confessing your sins, it's a big confusion. That's what it is. And I'm going to go into why. The whole focus of this lesson is why you should confess your sins. But I'm showing you first that confession does not lead to salvation. Just confessing your sins over and over. Maybe you're here tonight, you're not born again, but you're a good confessor. You say, well, every night I sit down and I think about what I did, and I just say, Lord, I did this and this and this. I didn't chew, I didn't smoke, I didn't run with them that do. You know, that kind of thing. You know, I cut my hair, I shaved nice and clean today, and Whatever it may be, we're going to look at some good examples here. How about Numbers? Numbers 22, if you go over in Numbers. Numbers 22, look at Balaam. Old Balaam, he was a confessor. Balaam is in Numbers 22, 34. Numbers 22, 34. The Bible says here. Here it is. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. I have sinned. You say, did the Lord forgive Balaam and Balaam went to heaven? No. You know what happened to Balaam? It warns a lot in the New Testament, talks of Balaam, and it's not good. First of all, later in Numbers, when they went to slew the kings of Midian, they slew Balaam, the son of Beor. Just slew him. God said, you know what you get for confessing your sins, Balaam? An edge of the sword. You know what you get, Pharaoh? You get the middle of the sea. Those guys confess their sin. You think God's just opening the pearly gates? No. What about Balaam? It says here in 2 Peter, Peter says about the way of Balaam. It's evil, the way of Balaam. The gainsaying of Kor. In Jude, it talks about the error of Balaam. The error of Balaam. This guy had a heart problem. Even though he's confessing his sin. How about this? The doctrine of Balaam. Revelation 2. Okay, let's go on here. Joshua. This is the one that I read through today. Joshua in chapter 7. Achan. What I'm trying to show you is that in the Old Testament, what we're going to look at is confession of sins in the New Testament is to keep you to where you know that you're saved, to where you have assurance toward God, to where you have confidence toward God, to where you dwell in the light, with Him in the light, and you have fellowship with Him. And we're going to look at that. That keeps you in fellowship with God. Well, these guys weren't even in fellowship to begin with. They're doing sin, and they're just saying, I've sinned, to keep the judgment at bay. And I'll tell you what, the judgment was still there. And Achan, he just did it. Look at Achan here. 7 verse 12. Joshua 7:12. The Bible says, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. And in 13, you see that there's an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Accursed thing. 36 men, I think, died because of this man. Because he had a cursed thing. He took something he shouldn't have had. And look at what verse 19 says. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. And he went right through and said exactly what he did. Everything. He named the money. He said, it's hid under my tent. You'll find it there. It's under here. Da, da, da. They went and got it. And here's what God said about his confession. Did God say, all right, Achan, glad we got that done. Now you're enter thou in the joy of the Lord. No, look what happened in Joshua 8. In Joshua, or 7. Look at verse 7:24. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent, even his tent, amen, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire. After they had stoned them with stones, they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. A man confessed his sins, and then what happened? The wrath of God came on him. And that's Catholics today, good Catholic. A lot of people are right now in the wrath of God in hell, and they were faithful to going to Mass every day. They were right at that booth with Father whoever, and they were saying, you know what, I thought a dirty thought, I watched that bad movie, and I stole a little something from the break room. Next day, you know, they have their little whatever they do. And it doesn't work. That's not how you get saved. The Lord did not say, go build yourself confession booths. The Lord never built a confession booth. The Lord was, and that's what we're going to look at, is salvation is confessing the need for a Savior. And that you need to change. and that you're basically a machine that keeps sinning, and you need a new nature. You need to be born of that, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Ye must be born again. You know that John 3, and you know, we're going to look at who wrote John 3, 3 through 8. Ye must be born again. He said it three times. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. John 3, 7. Who wrote John? The same John that wrote 1 John. The same John that wrote Revelation. That John wrote, you must confess your sins, but he's the one talking about the new birth. And we're going to be looking at, John was born again. And he's saying you need to confess your sins. Well, he's talking about, they're the only one that overcomes the world is he that's born a son of God. We're going to look at that. But what I want to look at here is now is go to Saul. Go to old Saul. Everyone knows Saul's story. He didn't make it. I remember one time I was wondering if he did make it, but boy, you look at this guy. He didn't do so good. He's not, the mercies were turned away from him. His heart was wrong. Look at verse 15. I'm sorry, not 1 Samuel, not the book of Saul. 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15, verse 20. And then if you have your other hand, if you go to 2 Samuel 12. So 1 Samuel 15, 20, and 2 Samuel 12. And we're going to compare Saul to David. Because Saul confessed his sin and did not make it to heaven. David did confess his sin. So we got a good guy in the Old Testament. 2 Samuel 12, 13. 2 Samuel 12, 1 Samuel 15. Alright, so now we got a good guy. And we got a bad guy that Saul, he didn't make it. And then we got a good guy named David, a good man, a man after God's own heart that confessed his sin. And he made it. So you're probably saying, well, they both confessed their sin. Why did one make it, the other didn't? Like I said, it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. Talk is cheap. You can make it. You can just blabber on and all that, and then your heart can be just filled with all sin. Because confessing it doesn't mean you're actually turning from it. It doesn't mean the sin is solved. It doesn't mean God's wrath on that sin is not going to happen. It's just it. God's holy. That's just the way it is. Constant. You know how they say it is. You know, someone drops something, you say, I'm sorry. Sorry doesn't fix it. That's the old saying. I wish it did sometimes. Boy, I did some real bad things. I'm like, sorry. And they said, boy, you really messed that up. You ever been there? Where you were like, I wish sorry fixed it. Well, sorry doesn't fix it with God. Sorry, sorry as far as saying sorry. But in your heart, if you, we'll look at it right here. 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15, 20. The Bible says about Saul. Well, I'll just skip ahead to verse 22. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And then look at right here as... look at right here at the end of 28. It says, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. Hold on. David is better than Saul? We're talking about, well, later, we're going to talk about a man that murdered, adultery. This guy's better than Saul? Well, we're going to look. We all know about David. Great repenter. He's a great man, his heart. When he said something, his heart was already before what he was saying. And Saul, he's just like this. Look at what Saul has to say here in verse 30. Yet he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now. Look at that. He said, I sinned, but you know what? Just, hey, shh. And if you read the book of Samuel, you know what you're going to find about Saul? He's selfish. He's image. He's all about his image. He's always conniving, saying, Samuel, pray with me here. Do this with me so everyone knows that I'm still all right with God. The kingdom was rent. And what that means is that even though he's saying, I've sinned, and he's trying to, you know, because that's what Samuel wanted to hear. He gave Samuel what he wanted to hear. And that's that he knew. But then after that, he said, honor me. His heart wasn't there. And compare that with 2 Samuel 12, a man named David, who sinned, committed adultery, murder. And 2 Samuel 12, when Nathan was sent to him, in 2 Samuel 12, 13, the Bible says, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. And you go from that, go forth from there, but look at verse 20. Well, actually, look at verse, if you can. Well, it says here, this is a man that laid upon the earth 7 days. Where does it say that? Let's see. Seven, where does it say seven? There it is. 18, it says, and it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. All right, so David says, I sinned. David right away, you know what he does? He doesn't say, honor me now. He lays on the ground for 7 days, doesn't eat, doesn't drink, lays there for 7 days. We need, some of us need to put that in practice, amen? We need to feel, it says in Psalms, I'm sorry for my sin. That's what David was. And I mentioned it earlier, is that confessing your sins for a Christian, a born-again Christian, is to have that fellowship. That's where the fellowship shows up, I think, 6-7 times in that 1 John. Fellowship, fellowship. Truly our fellowship, fellowship. In walking in the light, fellowship. It's all about fellowship. Just like Adam was a son of God in Luke. Who was Adam's father? Adam in the garden. God. It says in Luke, I think, 2:33 or something. Which was a son of God. He lost his fellowship. That's the way it is. When he sinned in the garden, out of fellowship. David here, in the Old Testament, you had to stay in fellowship. You had to be right with God. You had to obey this book. You had to be right with God to go to heaven. You had to obey. You had to, Holy Spirit's taken from you, and you end on a bad note, you're not making it. That's it. That's just it. Or you could be on a bad note and then end right. Samson, hero of the faith. Let me die with the Philistines. He's saying, you know what? I'm worthless. I'm like one of them. All these people that are making me sport, they're so evil. They're making me look wrong. But you know what? I'm just as wicked as them. Let me die with the Philistine. That's it. And you say, why? Because in the Old Testament, it was works. And you already know that because I know that you guys get taught that here in this church. I'm pretty sure, right? Amen? Amen? Grace. In the Old Testament, for the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen. In the Old Testament, you got people, a new birth's not there. No one's talking about the new birth in the first 39 books. No one's talking about being born again. It's all, if you believe God, if he tells you you're going to be as the stars of heaven, like Abraham, and you believe him, whatever he tells you, you believe him, and you do whatever he says to you, because Job, he didn't have a Bible. Job didn't. So how was he righteous? A man that feared God, eschewed evil. How was he righteous? No new birth, no Bible. How are you going to do it? How are you going to get to heaven? Well, he lived righteous. What does that mean? He lived according to what God showed him. And that's how you made it in the Old Testament. You know what God showed us today? He showed us a man, Jesus Christ. You're going to have to deal with that man. Good works are done. He showed us a work on the cross. And that's what it is. If you right now are trying to good work it and confess your sins and do the Old Testament way, you may be doing a fine job like Job, but Jesus has already come. It's too late. It's too late to do the good work thing. Because Jesus Christ has already did the work on the cross. The good work is done. And I'm glad we're in the New Testament, amen? Sometimes we think, I bet a lot of us here would like to be an Old Testament saint. If we did right, you get blessed. If you did right, you get cattle, lands. But listen, the Old Testament is not a fun place to be. The New Testament is great. You're saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Romans 4, 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. You go right down the line, not by works. Not by these hands, but by the pierced hands. That's how you get there. But anyways, what we're looking at here in David is if you turn over to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. And what I'm trying to show you, I mean, maybe it's kind of foggy, but we're going to get to the next week. I don't even know what time it is. Yeah, I'm going to have to cut it short. But basically what I wanted to show you tonight is confession cannot guarantee you salvation. Definitely not now. Confession is not the way to get saved. You're not going to get saved by confessing your sins over and over and yet rejecting Jesus Christ and the work on the cross. You're not going to do it. If you're not born again, you're not going to make it. But in the Old Testament, we see all these people that are confessing your sins, and you're probably going, maybe if you confessed your sins in the Old Testament, you'd be saved. Not necessarily. Because we're looking at tons of examples. Balaam, Pharaoh, you go right down the line, and most of them that say, I have sinned in the Old Testament are these guys that didn't make it. You say, why? Because it's a hard order. And that's why, that's just the way, and even here in Psalm 51, we all know what David said here. He talks about the word sin is in the first four verses. Sin. Or in verse 2, and 3 and 4, And verse 5. And he says sin, he's talking about sin, he knows he's sinned. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. But you know what, look at verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. That's the key. You know what the key with David, how he made it, he confessed his sins, Saul didn't make it, is David's heart was right. It said, my soul falleth hard after thee. Biggest book in the Bible, Psalms. A man after God's own heart. That's it. And it even says, moreover, it says, like I said, I'm sorry for my sin. Today, if you're sorry for your sin, that's fine. But it should sorrow you to what? To come to the cross. You should sorrow to come to the cross. I mean, if you really mean business with God, you would open this book. And I know this, the Lord wants you to be born again. That's really the simplest thing. You can be sorry for your sin, but you need to be forgiven of your sins. That's different. Being forgiven. David was sorry for his sin. And I'm going to go along here. Like I said, I wish I would have had a little bit more time to get on this. Judas, I'm just going to give you the highlights of Judas's life. Let's go back to John 13. We'll end here. We're just going to end here. And John 13, look what he says here in verse 11. Jesus Christ says in John 13, 11, he's telling his disciples, ye are not all clean. Some person here is not clean. Who is it? Judas. Someone here is not clean. Peter, your feet aren't clean, but you're clean. Judas, you're just not clean altogether. You say, how do I know that? How do you know Judas is not the clean, unclean one? We already know because in verse 2, it says in verse 2, the supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. He's the unclean one, Judas. It says earlier, just to give you a hint, is Judas later, in Matthew 22 or 27, you look it up if you want, is when after he betrays Jesus Christ, you know what he does? He comes and throws the money down, and he says, I have betrayed the innocent blood. He confessed his sin, he made restitution, he came to the priest, and he even afflicted his own body. That's religion today. That's confessing sin, that's giving restitution, and that's even hurting yourself. In a lot of religions, they hurt themselves. That's what they were doing back in Baal. You know, call Baal, and they were cutting their wrist. That's how they thought they were going to get God's attention. You know how you get God's attention? You get his son. And you say, I believe in Jesus Christ. That's who was afflicted. Cursed be he that hangeth on a tree. And what I want you to know about Judas is he had a heart problem. It says in John 12, Mary, when she came in, and the spikenard, you know, the costly ointment was broken, the alabaster box. You know what he said? He said, why wasn't that sold and given to the poor? And he said this not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. So Judas was a thief. You say, how do you know he wasn't clean? How do you know he was the one that was wrong? In chapter 10 in John, guess what Jesus Christ is talking about? I am the good shepherd. And you know what he says there? The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ is preaching on a thief. And you know what Judas does? He never gets right. He goes on there, and John 12, he's still a thief. That's a man that does. If you don't listen to Jesus Christ preaching, you're not going to listen to anyone's preaching. And that's a man's heart was wrong. And yet he, at the end, he came and confessed his sin. And guess what? We all know, there's a very good chance he's the Antichrist. There's a very good chance that's what it looks like. I'm not preaching on that tonight. I'm not 100%. I mean, it's almost 100%. I'll tell you that much. It is basically. But Judas, he confessed his sin and did a good religious act, and he didn't get saved. And that's what I wanted to kind of show you tonight, is confession is not a means of salvation. In the Old Testament, people confess their sins and didn't make it. In the Old Testament, they confess their sins and they followed it with good works. They had repentance in their heart toward God. They followed God with their heart and confessed their sins, and they made it. They had a life that was righteous right here. In the New Testament, the Lord, he says, you must be born again. And the we, that it says, if we confess our sins. Next week, we're going to look at the we. If we confess our sins. That's a man that's speaking that's born again. And 1 John 3:18, it goes, if any man commits sin, and his seed remaineth in him, he's born of God. We're looking at born. Next week, we're going to look at just some real simple things. Who do you confess your sins to? You all know that. Confess your faults. There's the one that everyone knows about. What is sin? I mean, confess our sins. Maybe someone here tonight, you think, it's what you see your neighbor doing. That's sin, amen. Oh, they're sinning, man. I'm doing right over here. You know, look at that glutton over there. And then he's looking over you. You know, that was a joke. Two men got saved, and one had long hair, and the other smoked or something. And the one always said, man, when are you going to cut your hair? He goes, when you stop smoking. And then I said, well, when are you going to stop smoking? When you cut your hair. And they both said they were right with God. And hey, I'll tell you this much, is that what God shows you and what God shows me, that's between you and God, and that's between me and God. Amen? And real easy to spot out a smoker or a drunk or a glutton, isn't it? What about covetousness, pride, idolatry, hidden things? In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Christ Jesus according to my gospel. And I'll just end with that. I hope I didn't go too long. And if you're confused tonight, does anyone here have a question? I hope I didn't preach any heresy, amen? Because I tell you this much, I'm not real sure. I didn't have a lot. I mean, what I'm saying is I'm sure of what I said, but maybe I said it wrong or I don't get a lot of chances to teach the Bible on the road. Let's put it that way. Usually I'm preaching, and I didn't really want to preach tonight. I wanted to teach. And man, I'll tell you what, that's one of my, if you can pray for me as a young guy, I get more time to study. I really like to study because I know that you need it. Amen? You can't feed something you don't have. You don't have any feed, you're done. So, anyone here have any questions about that next week? Lord willing, look at a little bit of confessing your sins and wrap up that verse. He is faithful and just. We'll look at God's character a little bit. And that's it. If you're here tonight and you're confessing your sins for salvation, see me afterwards, see someone, because I can show you from the Bible that you need to confess a name, not a Savior. Or you need to confess the name of Jesus Christ as your Savior and not all your little sins that you don't even know them all. And anyways.